On that fateful morning, the women went to Jesus' tomb. They arrived, and as the other Gospels remind us, they were on their way to prepare his body. Because he'd been buried in a hurry, he died late in the day and it's going into the Sabbath, and so they needed to bury him quickly, and then they were planning to come back and do all the ritual and the preservation and all those things for him. And so they were on their way there that morning, and in Matthew's Gospel, the Gospel that Joe read for us this morning, there is a great earthquake. This earthquake happens, and there's a loud noise, and the earth shakes, and there's an angel who rolls away the stone that is covering the tomb. And as the women arrive there at the tomb, the angel is sitting on top of the stone, and the guards, the soldiers who are posted there, they're afraid. They're terrified. They can't believe what has just happened, and they are in a state of shock. Perhaps they fainted, perhaps they're just immobilized, but they just are kind of there because they're afraid. They can't react, they can't do anything, they're stuck in their fear. But the women are not. I imagine they feel afraid too, but the fear doesn't paralyze them. We don't know why. Maybe they're just simply made of stronger stuff than those soldiers were. Perhaps they've taken comfort and known, they've heeded the words of Jesus that he would rise from the dead, and so they were expecting something like this. Or maybe it's just God at work in their life, empowering them to stand with courage and bravery in the face of their fear. But either way, the angel speaks to them and says those words that we hear so often throughout the Bible. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. And so the women are able to stand with bravery and courage despite their fear and listen to what the angel has to say to them. And the angel announces to them that Jesus is risen. He's alive. He's no longer dead. He's not even here anymore. Go and tell his disciples. Jesus will meet them in Galilee and reveal all things unto them. And so the women, even though they might have been afraid, with courage and bravery, they step forward. They go to tell the disciples, and on the way, they even meet Jesus himself. Jesus appears to the women, and they become the first evangelists, the first ones to tell others about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If they had not overcome their fear, if they had not been willing to take a risk despite being afraid, maybe the world would have never known. We've been talking about risk here at Blakemore for the last month and a half or so as we prepared for Easter. Each week we've looked at a different event during Jesus' life, during his last week of life. And we've talked about the risk involved in each of those events. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, so we talked about Jesus riding into Jerusalem and the people waving their palm branches and laying down their cloaks for him, celebrating him as a king, standing up against the empire of Rome. The risk that's involved in Jesus' safety in that cannot be understated or overstated. We talked about Jesus going into the temple and seeing all that was going on and turning the tables over, getting angry at some things. What would it be like for us to risk getting angry at harm and injustice and oppression in the world? We talked about Jesus seeing a woman giving her last two coins to the offering. What would it be like if we were to take a risk like that? To give so much that it was truly a sacrifice. We talked about another woman who came to see Jesus and anointed him with an expensive perfume, risking being judged and ridiculed by others. We talked about Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, offering them his body and blood and washing their feet and all the risks involved in that. And we talked about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as he was in anguish and agony over what he was about to face. His disciples weren't able to risk enough. They fell asleep while Jesus was praying. And then when the guards come, Peter does too much. He draws his sword and he attacks one of the guards. They risk doing too much or too little, and we do the same. All of these risks that Jesus and his disciples took and faced, And they lead to this day. They lead to Jesus' death and then to his resurrection on that Easter Sunday morning. Risk. There is reward that is possible when we risk. In our society, we have many examples of people who've taken great risks. I think of Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg. They were both students at Harvard. If you ever wanted a safe path for success, be a student at Harvard, right? I mean, your degree is worth more than gold, and the connections that you make, they were on a safe and certain path through their education. But they both took a risk and dropped out of school to start their own companies. Who knows whether it would be successful or not? We know their names because it was, but they took a risk, a huge risk, dropping out of school, and have since become some of the richest and most influential men in the world. I'm reminded of a woman who took a risk. Her name was Joanne. She was a single mom and living on welfare and just barely making it. And she had an idea for a story, for a book, about a little boy named Harry Potter. And so she wrote the book, and she took it to publisher after publisher after publisher, risking a lot because she wasn't able to provide for herself and her family. And eventually somebody said yes. Of course, this is J.K. Rowling. The Harry Potter franchise is one of the biggest in the world. She's earned millions of dollars through books and movies and all sorts of things. But she took a risk to make it happen. I'm reminded of the company Pandora. Many of you might listen to Pandora on your phone. It's one of the streaming services for music. They have 80 million people who listen to it on a regular basis. But in 2001, it was a startup company, and they weren't making enough money. And so their 50 employees had to take a risk and defer their salary, not get paid, just on the hope that the company might make money in the future. Last year, it was sold for $3.5 billion. I'd say that risk paid off. And then I think about Sylvester Stallone. He might be a surprise, but he was a young man, and he had a son, a child on the way, and he didn't have enough money to pay his rent. And so he sat down and he wrote, and for 4 days he cranked out a screenplay that would later become the movie Rocky. And he was convinced that this was going to be a great movie, and he was going to be wonderful, and that he was the only person who could play Rocky. And so he went to the different movie companies, and some of them said, yeah, we'll take this movie, we'll make it, but you can't star in it. And he said, no, I've got to be the star. And so he kept looking, and finally found somebody who would agree to make the movie with him starring. He had to take a lot less money for him to be able to star. But it was a huge success, and it set up his entire career. And so we know him today because of that movie. But it's not just famous people who take risks, right? So I listen to a lot of podcasts. Many of you may listen to podcasts as well. One of the ones I've listened to over this last year is called Zigzag. It's about two women, Manoush Zomorodi and Jen Poyant. And they were employees at the public radio station in New York City. They had a steady job, everything was going fine, they were stable, they were making enough money, they were living a good life. But they decided to take a risk and to go out on their own and start their own media company, their own podcast, and do all these other things. And so this podcast, Zigzag, is all about their attempts at making this happen. Trying to find funding and trying to come up with creative partners and all these kinds of things. And it's called Zigzag because they have to zig and zag a lot. It's not a straight path towards success when you take risks. And they haven't struck it rich. They're not rolling in dough or anything like Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg. But they're happy. They're struggling, but they're happy. And they own their own work now, which to them is as valuable as anything else. Our church, we take risks, don't we? Every ministry that we've ever started here has been a risk. There's been some level of risk involved. From Mountaintop to the Nearly New Store to Frozen Assets to the Bridge Bash, all these were new things at one point in time that we didn't know whether they would succeed or not. The depression support group, we didn't know if people would show up, but they have. We take risks as a community of faith. And next Sunday, we'll take another risk. We'll go out into the community and we'll serve. Rather than gathering in this space for an hour, we'll go out and we'll show God's love to others. And we risk in our own lives too, don't we? We take risks almost every day. Sometimes it might be an investment that has some risk involved. It might be asking somebody out. That would be a risk for sure. Taking a new job. Sometimes even just picking out your clothes for the day can be a risk, right? We take risks each and every day. But what would it mean to take risks because of our faith? Because of who God is in our life? Because of all that Jesus Christ has done for us? Jesus took a lot of risks, not just in that last week of his life, but we've especially examined those over the last few weeks. So part of what it means to follow Christ, part of what it means to live out our faith, is to take risks as well. And so what might those risks look like for us? To come to church, or to come to something that the church is doing? I know how uncomfortable that can be, right? It really is a risk to put yourself out there and invite someone to come to church, to come to this thing that is completely foreign to them, that is new and different. You don't know what they're going to think. You don't know how they're going to react. You don't know what they'll think about you for asking them, or what they'll think about you for being part of this community of faith. Inviting somebody can be a risk. Starting new ministries and new things is another risk. But maybe there are some things that we are being called to do as a church that are new and different, that push us outside of what is normal and comfortable for us. Maybe we're being called to risk by doing something new. Or maybe a risk for us might be letting things go that have been here for a while. Maybe there are some ministries or some things that have fulfilled their purpose and they're no longer fulfilling that purpose. People are no longer passionate about them. God is no longer calling us en masse to do those things. Maybe a risk would be setting aside something that we've done for a long time. Maybe there are people in this world that we are called to reach out to. Maybe there are people who feel marginalized, who don't have enough, who don't feel like they have a place to belong. Maybe our risk is creating that space for them. Maybe our risk is extending this table wide enough and long enough so that all might have a place, all might truly gather around and be welcome and be fed and be known. But anytime we risk, there's fear. There's fear. Just like in that story about Easter Sunday morning. The soldiers were afraid, and so they were paralyzed. They couldn't do anything. But the women, with God's help, were able to overcome their fear and risk. I imagine we have many of those fears inside of us. Fears that we'll do the wrong thing, or that we'll say the wrong thing. Fears that we'll make a wrong decision. Fear that somebody will judge us, or laugh at us, or exclude us. Fear that we'll hurt somebody else. Or fear that we'll put our resources in the wrong kind of direction. We are afraid. And yet I also know that the Bible teaches us that in love there cannot be fear. In 1 John chapter 4, it says that in love there is no fear, but perfect love drives out fear. When we are loved, when we feel that trust, when we feel safe, when we feel at home, we have the freedom to risk. Fear can no longer bind us and hold us down. but because of love, we are set free. Jesus took a lot of risks. In many ways, God took the biggest risk of all and allowed Jesus to be crucified on a cross. But God's love for us is so great, is so strong, is so magnificent and wonderful that not even death could separate us from God's love. Not even death could hold Jesus down. And so, friends, it is that love that meets you here this day. A love so great, a love so strong and powerful that not even death can conquer it. And friends, with that love inside of us, with that embrace around each and every one of us, we have the freedom to risk. We can step out in faith, knowing that God is with us. We can trust. And so maybe, just maybe, there's a little voice inside of you that's been inviting you to do something uncomfortable, something that's a risk. And so maybe, this day, as you realize just how much you are loved, you can say yes to that risk. You can say yes to that invitation. You can step out in faith and know that because of love, there is always new life. Amen.